Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have now, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we will continue with our sharing. Okay. Before there is Q&A. Okay, anybody wants to report meditation or ask any relevant related meditation or Dhamma question, you can. You can just come forward or raise your hand. Anybody? No meditation to report. yes, my daughter want to ask something.
Hi.
Yeah.
I never really tried lying down. I'm usually sitting. So I tried just now, and then I noticed. I don't know. I fall asleep or what? But I.
Never mind. Initially, you will fall asleep.
There'll be gaps. I'll be like, I don't know where I was. Then
yeah.
Then I hear noises around me.
To and fro
throughout the whole hour, many times.
Very good. Never mind. Initially, it's like that one. Where you are not used to it. Then here, the weather very good. So you tend to fall asleep, but because you are meditating, so you try to maintain awareness. Understand or not? Because you try to be aware within. That's why I say silent everything, don't know, don't try to know. Then when you're silent, you'll be aware. But because this is the first time you are doing it, she's saying. So the tendency is to lapse into the sleeping mode, or they call it the subconscious, then the unconscious. But because you have this clear intention to meditate, you try. Then when you are about to go into the unconscious, you actually let the thing ring first. Okay. Just before you enter into the unconscious, then you become aware again. When you are aware, but not clear, so you are not used to it, then sometimes you hear sound, sometimes you don't hear sound, then you go in again. Then come out, go in. Go. Never mind. Sometimes it will like make you want to sleep. Sleep. Then you will snore. Never mind. Let people hear. Then after a while, after you snore, tired already, then after that, the consciousness will come back. Come back. Then you aware that you're supposed to meditate. Then from there onward, very easy to meditate. Then after that, like very clear. Very clear. That's why when you're tired, need to rest, sleep. Then later on, as you become more used to this, and you combine with the daily mindfulness, then next time you lie down, the awareness will be there. But initially, the thought will arise. Then your senses will pick up, like I said, the physics experiment, because the consciousness is trapped inside. So when it's trapped inside, the consciousness inside can be triggered through the senses. You can hear sound, vibration. But this is the easiest sense talk that can allow you to detect the hearing consciousness. You hear a lot of vibration. Then because you lie down, your eye is closed. So your seeing consciousness is not active. Then there is no food, smell, taste also not active. But sometime near dinner time or near breakfast time, you will smell the fragrance. Very nice down there. Especially during the morning. Sometimes they cook very nice food. And sometimes dinner time also same. So you will smell that. But apart from that, the other senses are down. But if you have the mental hindrance, then this thinking, activity, sankara, they will still be there. But you continue to just let it be. Don't resist, don't fight, don't do anything, and maintain silence. Then it will slow down on its own. Because the awareness behind cannot talk on. Understand? This sea up here, the true mind, the pure awareness, no word on. no concept, nothing. So when you stay with the essence of mind, the pure awareness is just awareness. And the awareness is always there. But because you can't stay with it because of the thought process. So every time this thought comes out, if you are not with the awareness, you cannot be aware of thought. What you come to like recall is memory, actually. Understand? At the moment when it happened, the hearing consciousness, you are not there. You are not at the point of contact. Then you cannot know what happened because your mindfulness is not stable. So what happened is, after it imprinted, after you perceive it, oh, then you say, chipping sound, what vibration. So the concept come back. No? You understand? But when you really aware, it's just that thing, the consciousness, no word on, no name on. It just arises. Then it passes away. Arise, pass away. Then when you are there, meditating, silent, it's just aware. Aware, aware. But because you aware, you can recollect what happened. Understand? Then you can be very different. Later on, when you are very stable, that clarity becomes very different. Then you can be at the moment of sense experience. Then you can see how the content of consciousness go in. Then how it affect you. How it condition you. Then you start to understand that this form of mind is not really what you are. This is how you develop the direct understanding through the silent mind. Then you understand many things. Then you will see a lot of things happening inside your own form of mind. Then all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about, the three evil roots, the five mental hindrances, the five spiritual faculties, seven factors of enlightenment, four noble truths, you will see them all inside there. But these are living Dhammas. Yeah. And the most common one for people who initially develop the mindfulness to see is your own selfishness, your own evil root. That's why after they saw all this, the thought will start to come in through the back door and tell them a lot of stories. Hey, you still got a lot of this dirty thought. You still have a lot of craving. Well, these are all your personal secrets, understand? What you think, and then you realize you have never been observing all this while until recently when you understand the Dhamma. Well, last time you take it for granted, well, this is normal to you, and you like to create this type of thought. So when you understand that these are evil thought, wrong thought, make you heedless, bring about mental hindrance, then you are more careful, you are more aware. Then through that understanding, you know how to straighten your view. Then you understand that these are things that the Buddha say. There is this Sabba Asavak Sutta. Things that are unfit for attention, don't pay attention. What are the things that are unfit for attention? Yeah? The three evil roots and all those things. Then what are the things that are fit for attention? The four noble truths, the handful of leaves. So even sometimes, you may not know that it is the three evil roots. Because the three evil roots actually cover everything. We have delusion. So sometimes all those thoughts that are not the handful of leaves, these are the things that are unfit for attention. Because the Buddha in the Sutta reprimanded all these monks who have this type of question and ask. They go and ask very funny questions. No? Nothing to do with the Four Noble Truths. No? What is the beginning of life? Then a lot of those very funny questions, no? Which has nothing to do with the cultivation. No? It's just like to please your curiosity and all those things. Then die already, you become what? Then all these things, nothing to do with the Four Noble Truths. They don't want to cultivate. They just want to know first, understand? So all this, the Buddha say, they are things that are unfit for attention. Just when you think about it, what happened? The evil root that has not arisen, they will arise. The doubt, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, just like the wrong thought. So these are the things that is unfit for attention. In order to find out, he said, when you are mindful, you will know. When you think or dwell on those things which are unfit for attention, when you pay attention, it will bring about all this increase in what they call mental hindrance, the evil root, the unarisen defilement arise. Then the arisen one becomes stronger. But when you reflect on things that are, what is the word he uses? Fit for attention, like the Four Noble Truths, the Three Turning, Essential Dhamma, then you realize you develop the spiritual faculty. The mindfulness is very strong. Then it makes you feel very good, very happy, piti, sukha, the enlightenment factor come. Then your mind state become very different. And then you know these are the things that is fit for attention. It will make you understand life, make you understand who you are, what you are, the essential teaching, the Four Noble Truths. Then there is joy. Spiritual faculty of sati, bring about Dhamma investigation, then bring about piti. Initially, is when it stand up to investigation, it bring about what they call virya. It will give you confidence, then you will develop the spiritual zeal to go this way. Then when you do it properly, your meditation fall into place, when your sati fall into place, you will experience piti, which is the fourth enlightenment factor. Then you continue to relax and silent, then this pasti will arise. Pasti is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. Then when you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Then with sati samadhi, you see things as they are, the wisdom arises. The last factor of enlightenment, upekkha, will arise. So all this you will come to understand. And this Sabbasava Sutta is very important. I think it's at the back there, orange copy. Did we bring? Yes, it's there. You go and read. Somebody get me a copy, maybe I read from there, then easier for you to understand. The orange one, orange copy. Knowing and seeing. Knowing and seeing, yes. This is the book. Yeah. So I read to you certain part, then you understand. Thank you. This was based on a Klang talk that I delivered at this Tiratana Buddhist Society, Klang, MBC Center. Then the Buddha taught this defilement. Asavak are very strong defilement. Asavak, there are seven ways to face them or confront them. You got asavak that you need to abandon by exercising right attention. Now, this one is very important. Okay. So I read to you this part. The Buddha said it in the Sabbasavak Sutta, the first particular way to fight defilement is to only attend to things that are fit for attention, namely by dwelling correctly into the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. Because these are the handful of leaves. That is, you attend to the First Noble Truth reality. We are contemplating. This is suffering. These are the realities. And then you attend to the Second Noble Truth. We are contemplating. This is the cause of suffering, which is craving or attachment, born of self-delusion. Then you attend to the Third Noble Truth. Suffering can end. Suffering need not be when there is wisdom. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. And this is cessation, the Fourth Noble Truth, cessation of suffering. If you attend to all this, then you will develop wisdom. Then the last one is to attend to the Fourth Noble Truth. We are contemplating. This is the Noble Eightfold Path that will lead to the end of suffering. So if you attend to this and contemplate its second turning, which states that this Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated, you will then cultivate it to develop the Cintamaya Panya Wisdom. And then the third turning, Bhavana Maya Panya Wisdom. Immediately, the arisen asava will cease. This one is also very useful. That's why if you attend to it using the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha said, when you have understood the Four Noble Truths, immediately the arisen asava, which is defilement, will cease to be. And the unarisen asava cannot arise. This is how you abandon the defilement. It is only possible through contemplating the three turning of the Four Noble Truths and the development of it. And the five daily contemplation is part of the second turning, because this involves contemplation. And all this will bring about understanding. Then the Buddha also advised the monk to reflect the various anusati. Anusati are contemplative dhamma for you to develop the understanding. They have this Buddha nusati, Dhamma nusati, Sangha nusati, and Marana nusati. This nusati, they are different from like kaya nupasana, anasana. Nupasana and nusati is different. Nu is to contemplate. Sati is mindfulness. So when you contemplate mindfully, it becomes nusati. So these are all Buddha nusati, Dhamma nusati, Sangha nusati, Marana. Marana means contemplation on death. It is in the teaching. Why does the Buddha ask you to contemplate on the Buddha? It's nine great virtue. We are Buddha nusati, cultivation. Why contemplate the Dhamma nusati, Sangha nusati? So that you can develop wisdom and understanding from such contemplation. And also because the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha are the triple gem that you have taken refuge in. So that you understand when you take those refuge, you know what they are. With this, you will understand the deep meaning behind taking refuge in the triple gem. The purpose of refuge is for you to develop affinity to connect to the triple gem and stay with the triple gem. Whenever you arise, or whenever there is condition, so that the whole cultivation can be very different. Then to contemplate on that means to develop the urgency of practice via wisdom, to understand that this life, you can never be sure how long you live, so that you will develop the urgency to cultivate. That is Marana Nusati, when you contemplate on that. Then the monk also need to contemplate on the alms food, the four requisites that are offered to them, so that they can check whether they are worthy of such offering. That's why you also have to contemplate on the proper usage of all those things, just like how the Buddha advised the monk. This cultivation is also part and parcel of the teaching. Then the other part is what you need to understand. I have to look for it. Okay, maybe I start from the beginning. So that you understand. The next topic is more unique. I was given this topic by Brother Gan. The title is Knowing and Seeing. So I told him this is a good topic. And then I asked him, why you ask this topic? If you don't tell me why, I will explain the way I understand. Then it may be totally different from whatever idea that you may have. But luckily, Brother Gan sent me an e-book compiled by a very renowned meditation master who conducted a retreat in Taiwan. And because of their retreat, they wrote and compiled this e-book. I read the introduction, then I came to understand that they have based it on this sutta that the Buddha spoke on, Sabba Asavak Sutta. So this sutta is very unique. The Buddha spoke this Sabba Asavak Sutta. What is asavak? Yes, defilement. The various types of defilements. There are a few Pali words used to describe defilements. The other Pali word that are often used is anusaya, latent tendency. And this latent tendency, they lay dormant within the mind if there is no condition to trigger them off. But they don't arise because there is no condition for them to arise. Like nobody disturb you and there is no condition for you to react or get angry or to activate that dormant latent tendency. There are many teachers who use different terms to describe them, like Eckhart Tolle, the power of now. He used the word pain body. Actually, the meaning is the same. Pain body are emotional negativity. When you touch it, there is pain, there is suffering, there is reaction. But he said sometimes the pain body is dormant. These are the latent tendency. They are still dormant. There are no condition to arise. Dormant means you don't feel the pain as yet because conditions are not conducive. Just like when things go your way and your life is normal with no bad news and nothing to disturb you, then it is dormant. You may have a good life, happy life, peaceful life, but then whenever there is condition for it to trigger off, like when there are some bad news or bad happening, whatever they trigger off, then the things will affect you. The Buddha called this the First Noble Truth Reality. When you are confronted with them without understanding, without wisdom, it will lead to suffering. That's how the First Noble Truth Reality can affect you. The other Pali word is kilesa. Kilesa is also a defilement. Kilesa is normal defilement. Associated with the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. These are what defilements are all about. Then I move on. So the Buddha under the sutta, he mentioned this, he said, the complete destruction of asava can only take place in one who knows and see. That's why you must have wisdom, not in one who doesn't know and doesn't see. That's how this title come about, knowing and seeing. So all this I will skip. Then we go on to the next one. Direct seeing, seeing things as they are. Okay. I will share with you based on what I understand. It is actually quite easy for you to develop the understanding. We start with seeing. So here, seeing means what? How do you see? If you want to have penetrative insight to develop the wisdom, how must the seeing come about? Ah, very good, sadhu. You must have direct seeing. So this is one. Sorry, so this one is direct seeing, not mundane seeing. Mundane seeing is when you see with the normal consciousness, the mundane mind. The direct seeing is different from the mundane seeing. Mundane seeing is when you see with your thoughts, with your memories, with your conditioning, with your ideas, views and opinion, with all the words and concepts. Which means you don't see things as they are. You don't see truth. You don't see the reality. Whereas when you see things as they are without the words and concept, that type of seeing is the direct seeing. So this direct seeing is very important. Direct seeing will allow you to see things as they are with clarity and without any distortion. Which means you can look into truth, into the reality via the direct seeing. So when you are able to see things as they are, you see truth, you see the reality without any movement of thought. Your mind has clarity, not clouded by any thinking, not preoccupied with any emotion or thought process, meaning you are mindful, heedful, you are not heedless. The heedless, they are most of the time lost in thought, whereas the heedful are always mindful, aware and silent within. So this direct seeing is very important. Then I move on to the other one. There are actually seven ways which the Buddha talked about within the Sabbasava Sutta, where you need to develop wisdom to counter or root out all this asava, or what they call defilement. The first way the Buddha said is, you need to approach it with right attention. Some books they use the word right seeing or right vision. Then the second one is, the destruction of asava via exercising restraint. Then all the rest. Third way is to exercise endurance, leading to acceptance. Fourth way is to exercise proper understanding of their usage. Fifth way is avoidance. Then the sixth way is removal. Then after that, I will move to the first way. Okay. avoidance, exercise and restraint. You need so on a signal. Okay. So this is the one, you listen. The Sabba Asavak, the summary of it, the Buddha said, Bhikkhu, I said that the destruction of Asavak is for one who knows and see, not for one who doesn't know and doesn't see. Who knows and see what? The Buddha said, wise attention and unwise attention. Means yoniso manasikara and a yoniso manasikara. When one attends wisely with wisdom, unarisen asavak and arisen asavak. Wait, Oh, okay. When they attend, when one attend unwisely, the unarisen asava arise. The arisen asava increase. When one attend wisely, unarisen asava does not arise. And the arisen asava cease to be. That's why it's very important to understand this. So if you do not have wise attention at the moment of sense experience, and you pay attention to the wrong thing without understanding, without your mindfulness, you cannot see the defilement, how they increase, and how the arisen one proliferate. Then he continued. He said, Bhikkhu, there are asavak that should be abandoned by right attention. There are asavak that should be abandoned by restraint. There are asavak that should be restrained by, abandoned by usage, abandoned by enduring and avoiding, and finally by remover. Then the Buddha continued. He said, the first way, asavak that should be abandoned by right attention, by attending to things that are fit for attention. This is the part. The Buddha gave this as an example. He said, what are the things that are unfit for attention? He said, there are things such as he attend to the unarisen asavak or sensual desire in him arise. The arisen asavak or sensual desire in him increases. The unarisen asavak of becoming arise in him. And the arisen asavak of becoming increases. Then he said, the unarisen asavak of delusion will also increase in him. And the arisen asavak of delusion or ignorance will increase. So these are the things that are unfit for attention. Then he attend, that he attends to. And what are the things that are fit for attention that he does not attend to? There are things such as when he attend to them, the unarisen asava or sensual desire becoming an ignorant does not arise. Then likewise, the arisen one cease. This is how he attend unwisely. You have to listen. The Buddha gave this example. It's not what I say. So these are the questions that are not worth attending to, the Buddha said. Because the monk at that time, they also used to ask, was I so and so in the past? I mean, you are interested in your past life. Was I not so and so in the past? What was I in the past? How was I in the past? Having been what did I become later? What shall I be in the future? What shall I not be in the future? What shall I be? In the future again. Having been what? What about the present? Thus am I. Am I not? What am I? How am I? Where has this being come from? Where will it go? All this, he said, is like thought projection into the past and future. To arise the doubt, the fear, the worry, the anxiety because of strong personality view. Where you think you exist, you have a past, you have a future, and all this thing. Then, like during the occasion when you are diseased or confronted with some of the First Noble Truth reality. So the Buddha referred all this to self-doubt, such that this doubt arises in a person attached to a personality view or sakkayaditti, self-delusion. When he attends unwisely in this way, the Buddha said, the view of a self exists. And to him, they are like very real, true, and established. Then the worst is, the Buddha said, if they attend to this way, the self-view will be strengthened, strongly established in them. Because they will come to this view, he said, Then I will read to you. I will read to you the whole thing. What will it? That will be better. Okay. He said, when one attends unwisely in this way, one of the six self-views arise in him. The view of a self exists for me, arise in him as true and established. Or the view of no self exists for me, arise in him as true and established. Or the view of I perceive self with self as true and established in him. Or the view of I perceive not self with self. Then finally, I perceive self as no self and non-self in him as true and established, or else he has such, or else he has some such view as this. You listen, this is the wrong view during that time. It is this self of mine that speak and feel and experience here and there the result of good and bad action. But this self of mine is permanent, everlasting, eternal, not subject to change, and it will endure as long as eternity. This speculative view, bhikkhu, is called the ticklet of views, the wilderness of view, the compulsion of views, the contortion of views, the vacillation of view, and the fetters of views. Fetters by the fetters of views, the untamed or untaught ordinary person is not free from birth and death, suffering, disease and death, from sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief and despair. He is not free from suffering, according to the Buddha. The Buddha then continued to emphasize on the danger of self-delusion, thinking that this atta is a permanent unchanging entity, which they call the soul that transmits from one life to another, that is responsible for your thinking, your speech, your action, and everything you do. Then he continues. He said, bhikkhu, a well-taught noble disciple who has regard for noble ones and skill and discipline in the Dhamma, who has regard for true man and his skill and discipline in the Dhamma, understand what things are fit for attention and what things are unfit for attention. Since that is so, he does not attend to those things that are unfit for attention, and he only attends to those things that are fit for attention. Here we come to the very important point, as stated in the sutta by the Buddha. What are the things that are fit for attention? He said, he attends wisely. This is suffering. He attends wisely. This is the cause of the origination of suffering. He attends wisely. This is the cessation of suffering. He attends wisely. This is the way leading to the end of all suffering. All this he attends wisely. When he attends wisely in this way, three fetters are abandoned in him. Self-delusion or personality view, doubts and adherence to right and richer. That is, the first three fetters are severed. And these are the causes. These are called the asava that should be abandoned by right attention so that one can become a sotapan straight away. So very clearly, the handful of leaves are the thing that you should pay attention to. If you pay attention to all those that are not a handful of leaves, then you have to be mindfully checked whether your asava that has arisen will become more or not. Then the asava that has not arisen, does it arise? I give you a very simple example, you understand. Let's say you have very lustful character, understand? You like to see all this beautiful form and all those things. Then what you do? You got nothing to do. You go and fantasize, understand? Then you go and imagine. Then you go and create those lustful thoughts. What happened to you? The unarisen desire, craving, greed, covetousness, lust, and all these things, they arise in it. Then those that are already inside you, your lustful character, become worse and worse and worse. That's how things that are unfit for attention, don't pay attention. But the more you dwell on it, the more you pay attention on it, you fantasize on it, your mind will take that direction, and that is the downfall. So like those people who think of robbing people, like snatch thief, all that, you know what they do or not? Whole day they will discuss, wow, this victim very easy, that victim very easy. What must you do first? You dwell on this, you become expert on this, and you will fall. That's how they become more and more terrifying. Because after they discuss, they say, hey, your method not so good. Mine, I whack first, frighten them, panic them. And then they won't come back to you. They don't even retaliate. You're so subun. You call us subun, means what? Gentleman. Don't want to harm people. Then don't become a snatch thief. They will tell you. That's how they become so terrorizing. Then, of course, the other thing is karma. Last time you snatched the whack people, understand? Then now, got condition, you victim, understand? Then you got two choices. Get angry, hate them, create more evil root, then create more karmic repercussion. Then like the Chinese say, if you continue like that, your karma, it won't end. There is a saying that, 什么相报何时流? Yeah, 冤冤相报何时流? So, this is what the teaching is all about. So, things that are unfit for attention, don't go and pay attention. So, like gossiping, make fun of people, backbiting, and all things. Then, talk bad things about other religion and people and all those things. You shouldn't endow your, because this will create more and more delusion, more and more negativity, misunderstanding, asavak. But when you pay attention to the handful of leaf, the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, then you are a real practitioner, cultivator. Because towards the end of the Four Foundation of Mindfulness, mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths is all about the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. So if you really cultivate the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, that is where the meditation is, the Fourth Noble Truth, Noble Eightfold Path. Okay? So, how did I come to this sutta just now? What was the reason? I supposed to answer my daughter's question. How did I come to this one? I was trying to explain something, I remember. It is about when you are aware underneath there. But somebody must tell me what I said. Then I can continue from there. Because initially you lapse into the subconscious, unconscious. Then you like subconscious, semi-conscious. Like didn't go in and sleep. That's why your senses are still open. You can still hear vibration. All that. Then later on, you go into it again. Then like blank, nothing. It's not blank because you went into the unconscious. Unconscious means memory cannot remember, understand? Then there is another type of blank now. Those who go for full anesthesia surgery, you will know one. When you wake up, completely no memory. You know what happened? They numb that brain, that part that is responsible for memory, for you to create consciousness. So that's why it becomes bhavanga, straight. Then no movement at all. That's why you wake up, no memory at all. Like, completely that period, that how many hour operation, completely no memory at all. You don't even know what happened. What the doctor did to you also, you don't know. Then, initially, of course, the anesthesia is still there. You don't feel the pain at all. But when the anesthesia is gone, depending on what operation you have, you had heart bypass, I tell you, the pain will come back to you and very severe. Then some, they got open heart surgery, bypass and all this thing. Then nowadays, you have brain surgery. It seems they are very good now. Brain also, they can operate on you. No need to cut open your skull. Last time when I worked in a university, I got this Chinese friend. He worked in the bursary department. He's very close to me. He liked to talk to me, where he knows I know them. Then later on, he told me one. He's a Christian. No, he's a very good Christian. He said, "Brother Teo, I know you meditate. I heard from the technician, the DA." Then he talked to me. Then after I share with him, he liked me a lot. No, then you know what he told me, "Brother Teo, you know why I become Christian? No, because I got this brain surgery in the 1970s. No, whole skull was cut open. No." And he survived. He retained all the memory. He said it was a real miracle from God. I said, good. If that is the one that can make you have the faith and joy. And he's a true Christian. Very good Christian. That's why I tell you, not every Christian is like that. Even Buddhists are the same. Not every Buddhist is real Buddhist. Understand? So you cannot go by the label. You will never find the real. You have to talk to them. You have to check what is in their heart. If they have the teaching, if they have the virtue, the understanding, the kindness, the goodness, they are the real spiritual one. So whatever religion you hold, not important. You can have this goodness, kindness, understanding. You are beautiful. You are a blessing to all. Yeah. How did I come to this again? Yeah. I was trying to explain. Direct seeing. Oh, I went to the one. So when you later on meditate, then you silent your thanks. When you later on become more familiar, now I can recall. Because it's the first time you do. That's why you will go into the unconscious or subconscious. Then you will actually fall into sleep. But because you are sincere, you got the mental intention to remind you that you are meditating. So while you're about to sleep, the mind did not sleep. That's why there is some subconscious hearing and all those things. The other senses are down. There's a hearing become very prominent. But because it is semi-conscious, so you don't have that clarity. But when you have that clarity, when you are here, everything that is happening here, you will understand. Then initially, what you perceive is, you think you are aware. You know? You are not aware. You are conscious. Conscious means what? After you perceive, memory, recall, that is not mindfulness. You are not with the moment. When you are with the moment of contact, then the hearing consciousness arises. No word one. The awareness, this pure awareness, the silent mind behind the nature, is fully aware of what is going on. Because you are aware, you can recollect, recall, and you can come out and speak about it, talk about it. But the actual thing that happened, because the silent mind is just aware without word, there is no description. That's why a lot of people say, "I can see my thought." You believe? Huh? I can see my anger. I can see my greed. You can, provided you know how to see. And you know all these people who talk about this, I better write down. I can see my anger or greed, selfishness, etc. What are they referring to? Means the anger arisen already, you know. Then they recall, you know, I can see my anger. I can see my selfishness, my greed. But the real direct seeing, you know what is here? At the moment of arising of that anger, the awareness is with it. Before the anger take off, the awareness is there. Then you know the condition behind it. That's why you can arise the right effort to prevent it from arising. Initially, you have to prevent it from arising. We have your wisdom. Yoniso manasikara, not strong yet, not stable yet. That's why a lot of people say, "Brother Teo, I know this is evil rule. I'm not supposed to get angry." But when the condition comes, like that lady, the two kids, he said, "This two kids is like a monkey." She cannot control anger. When the kid really is it, the way they because maybe pampered them too much. Right? The way the kid respond and react, she really cannot take it. He said, everything else he can deal, you know, in life, except the two so-called son. Then I told her, my wife used a very good analogy. He used to tell the sister, where the sister cannot understand all this. The Singapore sister, he said, you think your son, he borrow your womb to come out only, you know. Understand? Your karma, understand? You give birth to him, biologically you are the parent, understand? But karmically, do you know who that guy is? Or who that kid is? Karmic dad, come and collect also, you don't know. Somehow my son, my daughter, my what? So, not what you think, form a mind, form a mind. So he borrowed your womb to come out, understand? So when you understand all this, you are not deluded. You will respect them for what they are. You will do your duty. You will not violate all those things. If it's karma, got to pay back, you ask for forgiveness, not from him, from all. So that once and for all, you overcome all this karmic thing. You willing to repent and change over to a new life, just like Angulimala and all those things. So when you have this ability to really be with the moment, then even when anger arises, the third way that the Buddha teaches you, the meditation on to overcome the anger, unwholesome thought, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to? Third way. The five way to overcome unwholesome thought. Third way is what? Meditative. Just silent and stay with that emotion, the anger. You must do it. Then you understand what the Buddha is teaching you. During the early day, I did it. When this one starts to move, agitate or what, I purposely let it come out. Then I relax, silent. That was the most beautiful moment of my meditation. All of a sudden, I realized that within a few seconds, that anger starts to slow down. Then a few more minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, completely ceased or still. My true mind come back. That's how I knew anger was never me. Then I knew what the Buddha meant by the third way. Just silent and aware. Then Krishnamurti used a very beautiful word. The very flowering of that anger, that thought, is the very ending of that thought. You know what is flowering? Huh? The flower. They flower until fully flower. What happened? Die, wither. Understand? That's why the very flowering of that thought, he used very good English. It's the very ending of that thought. Means you don't feed it any more mental energy. You cannot continue to get angry. Understand? But this is condition arising. Anger is not you. Anger is sankara. That's why sankara is anicchang. If you hold on to it, it's an evil root. Bring about suffering. And because it is impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's anatta. Empty, not real. This is what meditation is all about. So when you are with the thing, that is awareness. After you get angry, the thought recall, you say, I note anger. I am mindful of anger. This is vipassana. You go and try the method. That is not vipassana. Vipassana is, the Buddha say very clearly in the Cittanupassana, when there is anger, you must be aware. Are you doing that? They go and interpret awareness as one. Yeah, anger. I got angry just now. That's why I saw my anger. But at the moment of anger, they were very hot tempered up here in the cell. A lot of conditioning from the wrong view and all that. And this is the one that is triggering off the reaction of mind and making you so angry. And you are not aware of all this and you say you can see your anger. So this is mundane seeing, understand? The real direct seeing is with the moment. As anger arises, it's with it. But when you have the understanding and the wisdom and the stability of mindfulness, normally you have the right view already. Then this one cannot arise. That's why initially it can still arise. Then the moment the understanding comes, this is anger, evil root, soup, finish. That's why, like Brother Chia said, come out, the moment understood, aware, no more. That is the second stage. Then later on, can't even arise. That's why in the sutta is mentioned, the arisen hindrance, you will come to understand, or the arisen greed, hatred, or delusion, the content of conflict, you will come to know how the arisen evil root ceases to be. Then after you develop the yoni sokmanasikara wisdom, you will come to know how in the future all this evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion cannot arise anymore. This is what the teaching is all about. Okay? So continue to relax, silent. Then later on, you can maintain the awareness. Then you can understand what I mean. You will be able to be with the moment of contact at the hearing consciousness or even smell. You're very fast. Like I say, your sixth door, sixth and door, very fast. But here, when you meditate, because it's in a retreat, you don't have to do work. You don't have to do it. So most of your senses are down. The five senses. Only your hearing is active. Then your nose sometimes. The rest is not active. And then easier to manage. Then when you go back to life, all your five senses, physical, and your mind is engaged, actively engaged. If you don't develop a stable mindfulness while you are here, there is no way you can deal with life. You understand? Your sixth sense keep on, like one of the brother that came and discussed with me the way. He said, last time my wife can multitask very fast. One. Now I saw her like, cannot remember thing one. Multitask means what? Your mundane mind very efficient, very fast. I mean, if there is life to you, you live that type of life, understand? But when you can no longer hold and cling, and the memory remain as memory, then like the computer, random assessment, where you need it, you assess it. Just like I asked you, how did I go there? You only have to let me know what I said before that, which Adeline did, the triangle. Straight away, the memory come back. I can recall that I can continue what I share with my daughter. You understand? Well, this one cannot hold anymore. It cannot like try to remember what I say. Even my last teacher say, he initially scolded the wife for recording. No? He said, why you want to record? Foolish one, isn't it? The moment it's spoken, it's gone. It's no longer the truth. You record for what? Well, at that time, he knew the wife cannot understand. Then later on, when I met him, he liked me so much. Then I visited him in New Zealand. Then I did the recording. He didn't say a word. Then the wife got very angry. In front of me, tell the husband, oh, last time I record, you tell me all. Now, brother, till record, you okay. You didn't even say anything. You know what my last teacher told the wife? He don't want to get into argument with her. He said, it's okay. You don't understand. He understands, that's why I allow him to record. See? When you are not in the position to record, you're wasting your time. Understand? Huh? You cannot understand. Because these are words spoken by people who have that type of wisdom. And when you cannot understand, you record no use. But you can understand, it's very useful. Understand? Huh? That's why all the recording, all the thing that is up the website, if you can understand, I tell you, you will really progress and you will have a lot of joy and you will have a lot of gratitude towards the Karimita Fund and those who make this possible. But if you are not in the position to understand, then too bad. It's just like just now Adeline shared with me. She said, I didn't know until she told me. She said, last time when I was teaching in Jepaka, there was somebody which I don't even notice. He's also teaching meditation. Then he was in the committee and all that. It seems he mentioned something. He said, brother, teacher is not vipassana. Not the correct meditation. Oh. But luckily, Garrett and her, no. Brother Tier one is the real one. We attended many times. And then I got to stay there. I didn't even know about it. Understand? So when people cannot understand, because it is different from what they learn. Understand? And you realize what I teach is completely different from what you have been conditioned into. Yeah. So, you cannot blame people. No? People are just the way they are. Yeah. Okay, so this one I finish. Yeah? Yeah, okay. Wow. I supposed to stop what time? Oh, still got time. I thought 5 o'clock. Okay. So now we can go back to the Heart Sutta. Eh? Turn to page 58. This one is a post-retreat sharing. Eh? This was done in the year 2012. I think Achan Achalo, he he came over and visited because of affinity. Then he had a short retreat with the Karimita at Champaka Buddhist Lodge. So at that time, because of affinity, that was his first time to Malaysia conducting a retreat also. So this is what we shared actually at that time. So I just reproduce it here. Post-retreat sharing, in the year August 2012 at Champaka Buddhist Lodge, conducted by Achan Achalo. He's from Anandagiri, the abbot of Anandagiri Hermitage, somewhere north-west of Thailand. Conditions are very conducive, and the retreat was very well received by all. It had also benefited so many of them in so many ways. This was made possible because of the continuity of mindfulness, bhavana, and great wholesomeness expressed by all throughout the retreat. And it had also resulted in such good conditions for many of the participants to experience rather good meditative state and development of the five spiritual faculties. The condition during the retreats are very conducive for good bhavana and wholesomeness training to set the base for past cultivation to connect back to us, thus helping us to speed up the cultivation. Every day we chant, we take refuge, do walking meditation, renew our precept, pay reverential salutation, maintain quietness, do sitting and walking, that meditation, and mindfulness bhavana, followed by listening to the Dhamma, straightening our view, share merits, transfer and dedicate merits, offering and receiving of dana, radiating metta, Dhamma discussion, and meditation reporting, followed by Q&A, kam, Dhamma sharing, etc. All these are very, very wholesome and meritorious in nature. And together with the non-humans, our collective group consciousness had created a very conducive environment, which was charged with a lot of very good meditative and wholesome energy to benefit so many of us, including all those who had one way or other contributed to the success of this wonderful retreat. That place is very funny, very strange, very different. The first time I went there to teach, when this Brother Ing Chai came and invited me over, then I said, okay, then I went. The very first day, so many people turn up, almost full of the whole hall. I think they calculated about 40 over. And that was the first time I went there and teach, on every day. And nobody know me, except some of my Kayamita also came over. Then a lot of other new people also came. I don't know how they come to know. Then when the day I sat there, I started my teaching there, there was one monk from Burma. He came over to Champaka and stayed. I think Karen and Adeline will know. Next to the meditation hall upstairs there. What is his name? I heard he looked for me after that. I was not there. He looked for me. You know what happened? He is a monk. He's a very good monk. He's very quiet. Then every day, he got to pass by there to his room. So every Saturday, I teach there. Then when he was in the room, he must have heard what I said, because I used the mic. Then one day, he came and knocked on the door and came in and talked to me. He said, can I join in your class? I don't know how to answer him, but he's a monk. I'm a layperson. Then I see him so sincere. I say, yeah, you can. And you know what happened? He immediately sat next to me. And the whole 3-hour session, he just sat there, meditate and listen attentively. And he was there for months until he go back. Then before he go back, before I finish, I give him that book, the email compilation, and the Samasati and all things. Then after that, I was told a few years later, he come back, he looked for me, he asked, where is that Brother Teo teaching there? He realized that the way I answer is very different. At that time, a lot of meditative questions. And the way I answer is very different and very penetrating. Even there was another monk from Canada. You heard of this Venerable Kovida? Bante Govinda, sorry, not venerable, Bante Govinda. He is a very unique monk. He got two type of robe on. When he want to become a Theravada, he got a Theravada robe. Then he got three type. He got a Mahayana one also. Then I think Vajrayana also got. But he is a very, very nice monk. Then after the Kayamita, I got excited because we read one of his books. Some of the Kayamita showed me though. I said, this book is very good. This section he wrote about is really about enlightenment. But later on, I realized his book, he incorporated a lot of Krishnamurti thing. So because of that, the book was very, very unique. Then after that, they contacted him and invited him over. And he came over now. Then he came over, he stayed at my house now, where I bought my neighbor's house. Then after that, before he interacted with me, then after a few days, I think, about a week or what, then one day, his Mahayana contact came to know about him. They called him, then they invited him for dinner. When dinner, he put on Mahayana. Can go with dinner. Then at the dinner, he invited me to join them. Then after that, the owner of the vegetarian restaurant and the two very close friends, they were so excited. So you know what happened at the dinner? When the food was served, all the focus is on that Bante Govinda. Wow, they all serve him. Then I was like transparent. Then after that, they talk. Then one of the lady requested, the owner, I think. He said, Bante, you should stay longer. Teach us meditation. Very good, he said. Then you know what Bante Govinda told them. No need. You got Brother Theo here, he said. He is good. He is very good, he said. Then after that, they start to offer me. I tell you, human being is like that. That was the best. And I didn't finish yet because I want to tell you about Champaka. I was teaching there 6-7 years. That whole area was charged up with energy. There, the non-human, the devas, a lot. And we had this invitation to the deva, Samantha. Last time we chanted the whole thing. That's why the area, the energy is very strong. But then because of certain conditions, I couldn't fulfill all the classes. Because I already got Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. If I add Saturday, 4 weeks in a day, weekly class, my wife was sure not too happy because Saturday, Sunday also gone. How can a family don't have Saturday, Sunday? So we have to have our family dinner, you ask my daughter, on one of the odd days, Wednesday or don't know what. Then I told her, Saturday class and Hui Rong Day, I think very good. Some of them are coming later. I said, why not? I shift it back to my house. Oh, they said, no problem. So they come and join Tuesday class. So I no need to burden myself to Saturday class. So that's why, after that, I didn't go to Champaka. There are causes and condition also. So because of that, that area, when I was there for 6 over years, I like that place. It's beautiful. Then I would like to thank Eng Chai, Adeline, and Garrett for making it possible. Then many Dharma friends went there. That's how that thing developed. Then evolved and become what it is now. Okay? That is the part I want to share. That's why this part, the retreat, come about. Then the last paragraph. This type of retreat is more intense and useful. Hence, the five spiritual faculty and the mind can develop very much faster. It will encourage and motivate many participants who have benefited from it to diligently determine to continue their post-retreat cultivation. Do not be complacent, the advice. Otherwise, one will lose this good state of trained mind within a very short span of post-retreat heedless living again. So this one you have to bear in mind. The ability to maintain and continue this good momentum of post-retreat cultivation by integrating, watch out for this word, integrating it into one's daily life is very important. The momentum of continuous post-retreat devotional, bhavana, and mindfulness training, we are having a good and disciplined daily religious routine and daily mindfulness or awareness training are equally important. A good daily religious routine can be in the form of at least twice a day of strict devotional and bhavana training. That is once in the morning and once at night before one sleeps. Followed by paying respect to the Buddha every time before you leave your house. And every time when you return to your home, maintain awareness of all bodily action and movement within the present moment to cultivate your daily mindfulness until it is very stable. This training of the mind is in Kaya Nupassana is to slow down your heedless habitual thinking mind, not to slow down your action, and not your action and movement. Every movement must be at the same pace in life. Then every moment of awareness or sati will help you to break the momentum of heedless thinking or habitual thinking, thus enabling you to stabilize your daily mindfulness. That's why the moment you start to be mindful, heedful, every moment you are mindful and heedful, it breaks the momentum of heedless thinking. That's why later on, as you become more and more heedful, less and less heedless, because after you straighten your view, you got less thought. That is how sati come about. Then this heedfulness or this mindfulness become more and more continuous. There was a monk that I met and I actually came into contact with him was because there were conditions that I volunteered to be his temporary kapya. I think Chi Wei might know him, Ajahn Jagaro. Jagaro. Before Ajahn Brahm, he was the abbot of Serpentine Temple. Somebody from KL invited him. I was in Brickfield doing the recording. Then I listened to the talk. Wow, I said, this monk is full of metta and his dhamma is very good. Then after that, during normal time, I used to go there early. Then when he is not giving talk or what, he is around walking around the temple. Then I saw his photo. Then I remember my teacher Ajahn Yantra also visited his temple. And that was the time exactly that temple got burned, the bushfire, very severe. Then he showed all the photo. Then I saw my teacher there, Reverend Mahinda also there, Sister Subitra there also, and the disciple of Ajahn Yantra all there, together with Ajahn Yagaro. The miracle about that fire is normally it come, it just burn everything. I saw everywhere was ashes and smoke. Then all the building was intact now. They are temple building. Then I asked Ajahn Jagaro, how amazing, how come it's like that? He laughed. He said, it just happened like that. He said, oh. Then after that, I started to talk to him. Then later on, he was very observant. He looked at my leg. You know this leg. You sit long already, there will be this mark on the meditation mark. Here you sit on the cushion or hard floor. Last time I sit until here, got two dots on the mark. Then he smiled. He said, where do you get those dots? He said, oh, then I smiled. Where? I said, I did some meditation. Very good, he said. Then he liked to talk to me. Then when I volunteered to be his temporary kapya attendant, he was very happy. Then he invited me to visit him. But I just don't have the condition. Then later on, very funny thing is, he was about to leave. Then he said, if you're free, you come and see me at the airport. So, at least if I cannot visit him, I should send him off, farewell. Then I went to airport alone. I was shocked when I was there. You know how many Thai devotees was there waiting for him and crowding around him. Then when I approached near him, well, he was very observant. Then he saw me, he said, Tio, come! Then all the Thai people looked at me. Then he was like buddy to me. That's why they also pay attention to me, otherwise I also transparent again. Then after that, they saw me bow to him. Then I asked him, I said, Ajahn, how come so many of these Thai people? Oh, they like my talk. You speak Thai, Oh, my Thai very good. They tell me, he said, my Thai Dhamma talk It's better in the English one. And he was so good. You know, he got metta and everything. Then he was the one that shared this same thing that I share with you. He said, when you develop the mindfulness, the loving kindness, everything, he said, you can have this ability to be silent in the midst of sound. He said, you understand? Right? Then to have stillness in the midst of activity. If a monk can say that, and say that with understanding, he is a real cultivator. That's why his metta is very, very strong, and I can feel. Then later on, I think I had this condition. I somehow went to Melbourne, visit my second last teacher. Then while there was a couple from Malaysia also came and pay respect and make offering, dana, or something to my teacher. Then we get to know each other, then we talk. Then he said, Bertil, since you came all the way, this weekend my house, we have a house dana. We are inviting a monk. Are you free to join? Oh, I said, sure. Thank you so much for the offer. Free. So I went there with another colleague, Uncle Koo, that Christian, you remember? That was looking for Ajayantra, my teacher, for 6 years, cannot find him. Then came to me, found him. So we went there. While we were waiting there, then when this monk arrives, you know who or not? Ajahn Jagaro. Then the whole I said, hey, Ajahn. Then he was so happy. Then he said, how's life? Then I said, I thought you invite me, your temple is in Serpentine. And Perth. He invited me to go to his temple for Katina, I was saying that time. I said, you are supposed to be there. Then he told me softly, he said, after I talk to you, he said, then when nobody around, he talked to me. He said, because of something, he said, I'm no longer there. He said, I will disrobe soon. But initially, he just tell me he is back there because the mother is there. He got to take care of the mother. Then later on, I don't know, there's a lot of story too. But not important. What I want to share with you is he is a good monk. And there are conditions and affinity for us to meet. So these are the what they call nature's law that will manifest. So those that have affinity and all those things, you will come to meet them and you will come to understand them. That's why you will know how to screen them. And you will know how to attend to the important Dhamma. The bell means what? Oh, still early. 5:10. Okay. How did I end up Ajahn Jagaro? How did I end up there? I supposed to talk about COVID down here. Never mind, not important. We go on. I finished this page, isn't it? Ah, okay, good. Then next page. Chapter 16, lesson 16. Page 60. Now, this one should be good. The six internal sense bases are our five physical senses, sense bases, and our mind base. And the six external sense bases are their respective sense data or object, like color, shape, and form for the eye, vibration, sound, music, or noise for the ear. That is, upon contact of mind, their respective sense or consciousness come to be. And like the physics lab experiment of the light bulb, the switch, and the battery, upon contact, the light bulb lights up naturally. So you don't have to make any notes, it's all here. Don't need to draw that circuit diagram also. So in the same way, our sense or consciousness is also naturally conditioned arising. There is upon contact of mind with their respective sense bases and sense object or sense data, their respectively consciousness come to be. Contemplative wisdom refer to the second turning wisdom called Chintamayapanya, whereas the meditative one is Bhavana Mayapanya. The bhavana is developed through meditation via cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. And the wisdom is bhavana mayapanya, referred to as the third turning wisdom. Wisdom is always linked to harmony. Always remember, when you have wisdom, there is a lot of harmony. This is the reason why the wise one are always in harmony and at peace with all things, no matter what happens. Sensual desire and ill will are the first two mental hindrances of mind. They will always arise when one reacts to one's sense experience without wisdom. Reaction or stirring of mind also imply disharmony. We are wanting things your way. So now you understand. When you want things your way, you are not at peace. There is disharmony. That's why without wisdom, very difficult to have harmony. To be at peace with yourself is so difficult. Understand? You can't be at peace with yourself. How can you find peace? Understand? Huh? Do you follow? Huh? How many of you can be at peace with yourself? Huh? Nobody put out hand. Oh, there, got hand come out. You can be at peace with yourself. It's very good. Understand? Those who cannot be at peace with themselves are a lot of conflict inside. Understand? You know what are the two that always create conflict? The conscience say don't do, cannot do. The thought say do. That's why conflict. There is fear. Can I do? Must I do? Like you want to go out of your house, go some places that is not so healthy one, not so good one. So the thought, go lah, your friend all waiting. So the desire, the craving. Then the heart inside there say, the conscience, hey, your wife know how. What happened when your wife come to know? What happened when your girlfriend come to know? So all this is conflicting. Then finally cannot control. Still go. Understand? That's why has a lot of conflict. But not everybody has this type of conflict. Sometimes the conflict is whether to attend retreat or not to attend retreat. Understand? It's the same. Correct or not? Ayo, got to take so many days off, no leave. The thought always complain. But the conscience say, this is what I want, you have to come. This window, no more. Then Garrett, all the important meeting put aside, just come. See, this is how you follow your heart, because you understand. But when you have conflict inside, very difficult. You come here, so no peace. Understand? Very difficult to settle down. Then sometimes, like a lot of people, I think you all went to retreat many times. You all sure have this experience. Initially, during the early day, what happened? When you don't really understand retreat. When you come, you didn't know, the schedule is sitting, walking, then chanting. Some, you must sit in, like Ajahn Ajahn one. You cannot go and sleep or sleep away, not like mine, very relaxed. That one, sit until the leg pain also, dare not say anything. Just yan. So, after 3 days, the mind create another idea. Stupid, should stay at home, watch Thomas Cup or watch All England. See the exciting match. Come here to suffer, torture for what? Then the conscience loses power. Then the thought becomes very strong. That's what human mind is all about. Understand? Then on the last day, especially, or second last day, the thought started. Retreat going to end already. I'm going to have my char kway teow. I'm going to have my one. All this is from your thought. Not to say you cannot have that thought. You can have, but have the mindfulness and understanding. When there is condition, I should have. I can afford, I should have. But there is no craving, because this is what I like. Understand? So when I go back, I can afford, I have the condition. I wait till I go home. Understand? But when you are here, that craving, they say what? Make you be tahan. Quickly, then go and tell Suyana, 9:30, so late. Go back earlier. I think 8 o'clock we start. If you become like that, means you have not benefited from the retreat. But you can go and tell Suya, never mind, take your time. Then you are very good. But don't worry, I promise you, you will have a good meal, good lunch at Kampa. Brother Ko and Mrs. Ko, every year, every retreat, very kind, very generous. He is helping us. He is inviting us over. And was it a, ASEAN share or they pay?
We always want to pay.
We always want to pay, they pay. So they are the one that actually very generous. They will pay for us. And this year, I got a feeling he will definitely pay for us. Yeah, I know. Purposely. Yeah. Purposely for this. The husband is in Bangkok. Yeah. But recently I get to know Brother Ko a lot better. He's a very nice person. You cannot find. Very hospitable. So very generous. So these are the people, when you have affinity, you actually have a lot of joy. Yeah, these are true Dhamma friends, Kanyan Mita. Then they are very kind. You know, they bought Kampa house. Double story, one corner, two intermediate. And they donate it for Dhamma activity. They call it Mangala Lodge. That's why they invite me to give a talk again on the last day after our journey back after lunch. We will be there for about 2 hours or so. So that center has taken off. And I was one of the pioneers to go there and give talk. So this year is the third year. He bought that property, I think, about 3 or 4 years ago. So that time I was there, I was just about to start. They did some simple renovation. Then later on, second year, we go, wow, different, much better. This year, maybe a lot better. Yeah, I saw on the Facebook there, that word, Mangala Lodge, very long across the 2-3 property. And you can see, where Nalanda is helping them. So they got a lot of Nalanda people helping them. So these are the Kayamitas that are real true Dhamma friends. And we had this good affinity and condition. And the restaurant, Ikampa, is a very good restaurant. So be patient. You will have to get your food. Those who are not familiar with Kampa, you may not know their speciality. There's a type of chicken. What do you call that? It's curry one, or not beggar chicken. No. Inside there got curry. You try. I just want to make you loud now. In her plate, you know. Cannot lie to her already. She is no longer tempted. Because she must have eaten it before. Another 8 minutes. I just read on. Like the physics experiment, the light bulb lights up naturally. So in the same way, our sense of consciousness is also naturally conditionalizing. That is, upon contact of mind with their respective sense bases and sense object, their respective consciousness come to be. Oh, we finish this one. Then contemplative wisdom also we finish. Memory. Okay. Memory is useful for remembering one's house address. Share with you that day. Your name and bank account, how you sign. But not for grasping, clinging, and holding on to unhappy, sad, and fearful memories of our psychological hurts and emotional past, etc. These are the scars of memory. These scars of memory must not be clung onto, otherwise they can condition one's sadness, sorrow, lamentation and grief, fear, insecurity, unhappy emotion, etc. Memory should be left in the brain, as it is like the ROM and RAM of a computer. That is, we don't get attached onto it, but only access it when we need it, when we need to make use of it to perform certain useful and appropriate actions. True and actual meditation only begins when one's daily mindfulness has stabilized. Always remember this. If you cannot be mindful throughout the day, heedful throughout the day, you don't stand a chance. The real meditation only starts when your daily mindfulness stabilizes. That is just a beginning, but it's already a very, very good progress. If you can do that, you are way ahead of a lot of cultivators. Those who do thought based. Then we move on. That is when one is always aware and heedful throughout the day to investigate the Buddha Dhamma in daily life. We are cultivating the four foundations of mindfulness to truly understand who we are, what we are, how we function as a human being via self-knowledge, and how we become what we are via understanding how our mind stirs at every moment of sense experience, and how we are conditioned into various mind states of suffering due to our own delusion and ignorance. The silent mind in clear, stable awareness or mindfulness will enable us to be aware of the sense door consciousness. That's why without that silent mind, you cannot be aware at the moment of sense experience that arises at every moment of sense experience, thereby enabling us to witness all of the Buddha Dhamma like the Four Noble Truths, the Law of Dependent Origination, etc., as taught by the Buddha within our own form and mind, or phantom-length body. This witnessing via the direct seeing can give rise to a lot of wisdom leading to our enlightenment or awakening in the here and the now. So all these are possible when you have the stability of mindfulness, the daily mindfulness. Silent your mind and be aware from within or inside to realize the true mind. This is very important. You cannot silent until you can realize the true mind. Your cultivation is still superficial. That's why that type of sainthood, wisdom, the Mahayana call it superficial prajna. You understand? Not to say they look down, no. It is really in that sense of the word superficial. But bear in mind, they are already enlightened beings, understand or not? Even Arya. Not to say Arahant. Arahant is even much better, no more ignorant. And they are real enlightened beings. So this one, if you are able to realize the true mind via the silent mind, then you become very beautiful. Then you will understand why only wisdom free and liberates the mind and nothing else. Then you can understand why Master Shen Hua's commentary that state, with wisdom, you can very naturally reach the other shore of Nibbana. Very easily, very naturally, you get there. You get to the other shore without any need, expense, any effort at all. That's why the real meditation is effortless. There is no doing. Understand? Trust. The doing by the thought is effort. But thought based on the four right effort, you have to do it. Because initially, you have to cultivate the four right effort to deal with right thought, right speech, right action. But it is all about thought. Right effort to abandon the arisen, unwholesome thought. Means thought. Then right effort to prevent the arising of thought, again thought. Then right effort to cultivate the right thought. That's why all these are thought. But to develop true wisdom, that is purification of thought. To develop true wisdom, you don't use thought. You don't use effort. You just silence your mind effortlessly. You will understand. Okay? Then, question. Is the divine innocence of a newborn baby the same as the enlightened state? Wow, this type of question also come. You listen to the answer, you will know. I straight away say no. The newborn baby's condition is different. Only the mind state of pure perception is quite similar. The reason being, in the case of a baby, the so-called pure perception comes about via a brain that is still very innocent and pure, in the sense that it is not conditioned by any memories, views, opinion, conditioning or concept and words as yet. So the main difference is that mind state is not born of wisdom, whereas for those of the enlightened one, their perception is still pure perception despite their memories, their conditioning, etc. That is only possible due to their wisdom. And there is clarity within their pure perception. That is, they are like a lotus flower. They are still pure and above the lotus pond, even though they originate from the filthy lotus pond below. So this is a very good description. That's why it's different. That's why I told you, as a baby, yeah, they got the direct seeing, pure awareness. But without the memory, the conditioning, not much use. Understand? You can only make use of that efficiently when you have all those memory conditioning, then your awareness saw all those things. Then you start to realize this form and mind is not you. This memory is not you. It's a bundle of memory and conditioning, views and opinion that you accumulated when you come to this world through the segmented life. And all these are conditioned by your karma. Heir to your karma, born of your karma, everything is karmically related. Then you realize, without wisdom, you cannot break from karma. That's why you become very predictable. You have to do a lot of what they call debt servicing. Debt servicing, our sister love, payback karmic debt. Okay, meditation. When one encounters adversity without wisdom, the mind will stir to condition one's unwholesome thought and unwholesome emotion. The Buddha teaches 5 ways to overcome all this unwholesome thought and emotion that has arisen. They are all here. Eh? No need to copy note or what. You just go back and read. Eh? So first way, think of the direct opposite wholesome state. For example, if there is anger, develop metta. And if there is cruelty, then develop compassion. And if there is fear, develop faith. Second way, to think of the consequence of holding on to the unwholesome thought or evil roots. If you do not abandon it, then the evil root, which is the root of all evil, will condition you into becoming an evil person. For example, anger can condition one into hatred and violence. An angry person can kill, harm, and abuse others. Third way, just relax and let things be. This is the meditative way. Develop via understanding that the original states of mind before the stirring is already the meditative state of peace. Inner peace, inner calmness, and silent inner awareness. And that the very flowering of the unwholesome thought is the very ending of that thought. That's why just let the thought arise, or the anger, let it arise. Then let it flower. It will cease to be. If you don't give it any attention or any more fuel to proliferate. Fourth way, to trace the origination factor and then retrospectively reverse them. We are cultivating mindfulness of Dhamma. That is, we are the cultivation of mindfulness of the 6 internal and 6 external sense bases. This is to develop the wisdom to free. And this fourth way is the best, the most important. Fifth way, of course, if all the above also cannot help you, then you must use your own self-determination as recommended by the Buddha. With clenched teeth and your tongue towards the palate, you should determine strongly to abandon the negative, unwholesome thought. So the Buddha also give up on you. You cultivate yourself. Question 3.2. Is it alright to indulge in positive thought during formal sitting meditation? For example, like recalling the thought of doing good deeds, etc. What do you think? Different people different. Some find that very peaceful, calming, helpful. Use it. But when you are already more focused, when you understand, you meditate is to realize the understanding. You have to train the mind, you train. So you are more focused. But these are skillful means. So anyway, I read the answer. I said not advisable because it's like trying to create good memory for a good state or happy mind state or happy mind moment, which is a form of thinking and sensual indulgence or craving for this happy mind state. Whereas radiating loving kindness or metta is different. Where it's not thinking, it's from the heart with a pure feeling or true metta. You are silent and you radiate that peaceful metta sincerely from your heart. When you are in the sitting posture during the formal meditation training, try not to do that because it will bring about the it will not bring about bhavana mayapanya, the meditative wisdom of the third turning of the Four Noble Truths. During the formal sitting meditation, your main focus is to initially train and tame the heedless thinking mind into a relaxed state of silent inner awareness. Then after that, it has to stabilize. Oh, sorry. After it has stabilized, keep it silent and just be aware within to understand what is going on within your own form and mind. So as to develop the third turning, direct seeing wisdom as taught by the Buddha. Understand that the first and second turning wisdom are less penetrative than the third turning, which is born of the direct seeing. Hence, the second turning wisdom via reflection, contemplation and inquiry into the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha should only be done during normal daily mindfulness training and silent, relaxed, contemplative session and moments. So this one will bring us to the end of chapter 16, or lesson 16. So we stop here. Okay, you can go for your lunch. Pay respect to Trupa Jam. Oh, sorry, go for dinner. Then you can go for dinner. Maybe we do the closing salutation. After that, we break. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can go for your dinner. We meet back at 6:45.